ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणं न विदुःसुरा सुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः। प्रपन्न पारिजाताय तोत्र वेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। प्रपन्न पारिजाताय तोत्र वेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। So this third verse, so having paid your salutations to the Bhagavad Gita book itself as a Devi, then having paid respects to Vyasa, the writer of Mahabharatam, who really blessed us with this teaching of Bhagavad Gita in Mahabharatam. The third was, we pay salutations to the Lord Krishna, who played the role of a teacher in this Mahabharatam. So he says, Namaha. If you see the words Namaha, Namaha is salutations, prostrations. Whenever this word comes, it should always go with the dative case. So, Krishnaya. Namaha salutations. Salutations to whom? You ask salutations to the Lord Krishna. To Krishna. Krishnaya Namaha. Salutations to Krishna. So, here, and who is this Krishna? All other four words in the verse describe Krishna. Adjectives for the word Krishna. See, prapanna parijataya krishnaya, totravetra ekapanaya krishnaya, jnanamudraya krishnaya, gitamrta duhe krishna. Krishna is salutations to Lord Krishna. And who is this Krishna? Which sort of Krishna? Salutations to Krishna, which sort of Krishna? So, all other four words are adjectives there. So, Krishnaya Namaha, when you say, even though for us it is a teacher, Arjuna's teacher is Krishna here, we see Bhagavad Gita. But the word Krishnaha means, Krish means to attract, to drag, to trap, I mean to impress, to attract. So Akarshati means attracts. So Krishnaha has come from the root Krish. So Akarshati Sarvani Manamsi iti Krishnaha. You see the meaning of what? The meaning of the word Krishna, the etymological, we see the meaning of the word Krishna. Akarshati Sarvani Manamsi iti Krishnaha. That which attracts all the minds towards itself is Krishna. So Krishnaha is equal to all attractive. All attractive means what? It attracts all the minds. So, what is that which attracts all the minds towards itself is fullness, happiness. There is no mind which never wants happiness, isn't it? All the minds always seek only happiness. Therefore, all attractive is equal to happiness. Happiness is all attractive, isn't it? What is it which attracts all the minds? What is that which is sought after by all the minds? Always, everywhere, by all the people, happiness. That is why all attractive is equal to that which attracts always, that which attracts everywhere, that which attracts all the minds, always, everywhere. is all attractive, is equal to happiness. So Krishna, if you say Krishna is equal to all attractive is equal to happiness. Therefore, Krishna is equal to happiness. So Krishna is equal to, Krishna is a personification of fullness. Embodiment of fullness. Personification of fullness. Therefore, Krishnaya Namaha, if you say, salutations unto the Lord Krishna, who played a role of a teacher in Bhagavad Gita, who was teacher of Bhagavad Gita, and who was himself the fullness personified. Listen, Krishnaya Namaha. How do we say that he is fullness personified? The one, whoever has discovered fullness, is a fullness personified only. Understand? You can say that way also. Another meaning. So, and he is Krishna, he is Prapanna Parijataha. Who is Krishna? Who is Krishna? He is a Prapanna Parijataha. Prapanna Parijataha means, see, Parijataha is a tree, a name of a tree. One variety of tree, which has small, small white flowers. And here this tree is discussed in the legends, Puranas, you know, as a heavenly tree. A heavenly, we should not really deeply go into the details, whether there is a heaven, there is a heavenly tree, Parijata tree, and then which is known as a wish-fulfilling tree. If you go and sit under this Parijata tree, now, and whatever you want, suppose, okay, I want to go to this place, and then immediately I want a ticket, immediately get the ticket. Okay, I want to eat this particular, sandwich, immediately get you. Whatever you want to eat, whatever you wish, sitting under the tree, immediately your wish will be fulfilled. That's called a wish-fulfilling Parijata tree, heavenly Parijata tree. It's not locally available, it's a heavenly tree. Okay, so we should say, go and, if there's really such a tree available here, and all of us would have already gone, you know, standing in queue, to see the tree and to go and get our wishes fulfilled, like how people queue up to see the wax stairs, the wax statues in central London. Now people queue up. Yeah, people go and pay £50 and wait in the queue to watch that. Suppose if there's really heavenly Parijata tree available here, okay, people will go. But it's not our local tree, it's a heavenly Parijata tree. And it's always described as a wish fulfilling tree. That which fulfills all one's wishes. And here, whether that tree exists or not, but here Krishna is likened to the tree. Krishna is the one, okay, salutations unto the Krishna who is fullness personified, okay, and who is Mahatma, and Krishna here is like, who is like the pavish bush fulfilling heavenly Parijata tree. For whom? That means for as a Lord, he fulfills the wishes of those people. Who are the people whose wishes does he fulfill? Okay? Prapannanam Parijataha. So Prapanna Parijata. Prapannaha means those who have surrendered. Okay, Prapanna means the one who has surrendered. So Prapanna Parijataha means the salutations, Prapanna Parijataya Namaha means salutations to the Lord. Now who is like the wish fulfilling Parijata tree, who fulfills the wishes of those who have surrendered to him. So who surrendered to him means who are the ones who have surrendered to him? How do they surrender? If we had explained that, now surrendering to the Lord means what? What do we mean by surrender here? Just going and kneeling down in front of him or what? What do we mean by surrendering to the Lord? Here, Prapanna, surrendering to the Lord means, having surrendered to the Lord means, having surrendered one's will to the Lord. Having surrendered one's will to the Lord means having surrendered one's will to Dharma. Having surrendered one's will to Dharma means what? Surrendering one's will to Dharma is surrendering one's will to the Lord. Surrendering one's will to Dharma means always being committed to committed to dharma, always being conscious of dharma, always not, you know, always doing the right, avoiding the wrong. Now, with discretion, doing the right, avoiding the wrong. Deliberately refraining from the wrong actions and doing the right actions. How? Always one's action, one whose actions are not governed by one's own likes and dislikes, but one's whose actions are always governed by one's knowledge of right and wrong. Thereby, one who does only right actions, one who always refrains from wrong actions, is the one whose will has been surrendered to the Lord. Understand now? So, being committed to live a life of values is what? Having one's will surrendered to dharma. Having one's will surrendered to dharma is having one's will surrendered to the Lord. Understand now? So, here prapannaha means, you know, prapanna is very, very famous in Vaishnava's culture, Vaishnavite thing. Prapattihi, sharanagatihi is very important. Prapattihi, when you say surrender, sharanagatihi, prapatti saranagati. So, prapannaha is the one who has surrendered. So, how can you surrender? There are two forms surrender, okay? One is absolute surrender and another one is relative surrender. How can you surrender yourself to the Lord absolutely, totally? What do we mean by total surrender or absolute surrender? See, when you understand, in the wake of knowledge of the reality as the self, you understand the whole, all that is here is only the manifestation or the only reality. This is the second thing other than the Lord. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagati. When you see the whole, everything, all that is here is only Vishnu, only the Lord, only the reality. This is the second thing other than the reality. When you understand. No? That is surrendering. Okay, this is total surrender. There is no such thing called separately I. There is no such thing called something else. Understand now. All that is there is only the Lord. This vision of seeing everything as the Lord, not seeing a second thing other than the Lord, is absolute surrender. Absolute surrender. And relative surrender is surrendering one's will to the Lord. Surrendering one's will to the Lord means what? Surrendering one's will to the dharma. Surrendering one's will to dharma means what? One's willpower, one's capacity to choose to give an action has surrendered to the dharma means always one's actions are in conformity with dharma. One's actions are, you know, are not in conformity with one's own whims and fancies. That's all. And those are the people, righteous people. Understand now? Those are highly ethical and righteous are those who have surrendered their will to the Lord. They are prapannaha. So prapanna, only to such people. Understand now, Lord is the one who, like a wish-fulfilling parjata tree, who fulfills the wishes of all those who have surrendered their will to dharma. Understand? So prapanna parijataha means it's the, that's the meaning. Is it clear now? Prapanna parijataha, that's the meaning. So prapanna parijataya krishnaya namaha. Salutations unto the Lord Krishna, who played the role of a teacher and who taught, no, who gave his wisdom of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and who is fullness personified, who is like the wish fulfilling parjata, heavenly parjata tree, to those who have surrendered their will to dharma. Those who are committed to dharma, that's all. Otherwise, Bhagavan is not parjata tree, okay? And otherwise, what is he? Look at this. Otherwise, totra vetraika panaye, totra vetraika panaye. See, totra vetra eka panihi. Totra vetra means a whip. Understand now? And eka panihi means in one hand. Eka panihi means, okay, one hand actually. But totra vetra eka panihi, one, the person of one hand, perhaps two hand, okay, the person who's endowed with the whip in his one hand. And then the one who is endowed with the whip in his one hand is called Totra Vetra Ekapanihi. Why is he holding a whip here? Krishna. I told you, he is like a parjata tree to those who surrendered their will to dharma. Understand now? Who is committed to live a life of dharma, who is highly ethical. Those who transgress dharma, he is ekapani. Okay? Totra vetra ekapani. He is like a parjata tree to those who live a life of dharma. Understand now? He is not a parjata tree to those who transgress dharma. Who is the one who whips them? Understand now? With the remaining as the law and order, one who punishes them. Okay? With the pain. Understand? That means what? Not that Bhagavan's interest in all is punishing. What does it mean here? Whenever you go through pain, because it's our papa karma, isn't it? It's the root of our own papa. And who determines the papa karma phalam or punya karma phalam? Any phalam is determined by the order, natural law and order. Isn't it? Natural law. That law is what Ishvara. Niyati is Ishvara. Ishvara ye, Ishvara yeva. Niyati rupena stitva. Understand now? He remaining as the very law and order, Bhagavan alone blesses and punishes. Not the intention of punishing us, just to correct it, that to correct us. Not the intention of hurting us and then harassing us. But the motive behind the order is always punishes so that we are corrected. Understand now? So, Totra Vetra Eka Panhi means, because Krishna is always literally presented as a cowherd boy, isn't it? So, whenever all the sheep and then all these cows, cattle had to go, cows had to go, you know, in herd, as a herd, no? They had to go in groups. Suppose whenever any cow just jumps out of the crowd and then goes out, no? Then he has to whip, come on, be with the group, understand now? That means what? Whenever you transgress dharma, understand now? So, the Lord, one who remaining as the very law, punishes the, listen now, this determines the wrong action, wrong, determines the punishment and determines the blessing in keeping with the, understand now, action, punya papa. Listen, therefore, Lord is present here as what? One who is endowed with the whip in his one hand. Totra vetra. Otherwise, suppose under your will to Bhagavan, you are always committed to live a life of dharma, means Bhagavan is parijata. Wish fulfilling tree. Whatever you want, you'll get from him. Prapannanam parijataha. Understand now? If you're not prapanna, if you're the one who transgresses dharma, then Bhagavan is totra vetra ekapanihi. Understand now? One who's endowed with a whip in his one hand, understand now? To manage the cows, cattle, as a cowherd boy. At the same time, you can say, Bhagavan, is remaining as the law who punishes or blesses the people, no, in keeping with their karma. Amazing, isn't it? Totra vetraika. Bhagavan is the law and order. Bhagavan. This is symbolic, isn't it?
Totra vetraika panaye jnana mudraya krishnaya.
Then Krishna is jnana mudraha. See, this is jnana mudra. This is Jnana Mudra. And Jnana Mudraha means the one who has Jnana Mudra is Jnana Mudraha. Jnana Mudra. This is Jnana Mudra. And the one who has this Jnana Mudra in his hand is Jnana Mudraha. So what does it mean here? So Jnana Mudra reveals something. The Mudra reveals some fact. What is the fact revealed by this Mudra? Come on. See, you are an individual. Isn't it now? Any individual, as long as one does not know the self, as long as one does not know the truth of the universe as being the self, available for recognition as the self, one has one identity only with the body, mind, sense complex. Body, mind, sense complex. As long as one does not recognize the truth of the universe as the very self, one cannot help having identity with the body, mind, sense complex. As long as one has identity with the body, mind, sense complex, not knowing the truth, not knowing the self, then one seems to be away from the Lord. Understand now? One isolates oneself from the whole, the Lord. One is distant from the Lord. Understand now? This isolation, separation from the whole, the Lord. Isolation from the Lord, the whole. Understand now? And one is a limited individual going through a lot of, understand now, going through life of samsara. But when there is knowledge of the truth of the universe as the very self, then one recognizes the truth being, now the truth of, one's own truth being the truth of the whole, when naturally one identifies, one has identity with the truth. Okay, identity with the truth, then one does not have identity with the body-mind complex. When one has identity with the truth, then one understands one's non-separateness from the Lord. Oneself being non-separate from the whole. Oneself being already one with the whole, the Lord, Ishvara, Bhagavan. In the wake of the knowledge of the truth, one is not, one understands oneself being already one with the Lord. One does not become one with the Lord. Okay? One is already one with the Lord. Nobody is ever separate away from the Lord. The distance between oneself and the Lord is the ignorance. There's no real distance. So in the wake of knowledge, when the ignorance is dispelled, one recognizes oneself being already one with the Lord, the whole, oneself being non-separate from the Lord, the whole, then understand now that there is fullness. There are no limitations anymore. There's only fullness. This is what is revealed by the Jnana Mudra, the fact revealed by the Jnana Mudra. So Jnana Mudraya means what? Salutations to the Lord who has Jnana Mudra in his own hand, which reveals the fact of oneself, you know, being one with the Lord already in the wake of knowledge of one's own truth of oneself. This is Jnana Mudraya. Krishnaya, then Gita Amrita Duhe Namaha. Gita Amrita Duh. Understand now. Duh means one who milks. And what does Krishna milk here? No, Duhya means one, salutations unto the one who milks. What does he milk here? He milks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita. Understand? Milk of. He milks the nectar. He doesn't milk the ordinary milk. He milks the nectar. Understand? A nectar of Bhagavad Gita. That means what? One who really blessed Arjuna with the vision of the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is said to be the milk, nectar or nectar, milked. That means it implies Bhagavad Gita is an essence. Understand now? Essence. Essential knowledge, the wisdom. So here, because Krishna played the role of a teacher for Arjuna, we say salutations to the Lord and to the Lord Krishna, who is happiness, fullness personified. The very name tells you Krishna. No? Akarshiti sarvani manamsiti Krishna. When you say Krishna means all attractive. Remember that. That which attracts all the minds towards itself. Center of attraction. Understand? No? Krishna. That means happiness, fullness. That is what we say here. Salutations unto the Lord Krishna, whose fullness personified, and who is like the wish-fulfilling Parijata, heavenly Parijata tree, to those who are surrendered to him, you know, in terms of, when those surrendered their will to dharma, those are committed to live a life of dharma, and the one who is endowed with the whip in his one hand, you know, and he will say, to the one who has milked the nectar of Bhagavad Gita, understand now, Gita Amrita Duhe Namaha. And this verse is further explained the following verse. Look at this. Why do you say Krishna, why Bhagavad Gita is said to be the nectar? Okay? Why is Krishna said to be the one who milked the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? That means, in the following verse explains that last word. If Krishna is said to be the one who milked the nectar of Bhagavad Gita, what is the reason? The following verse explains that. Because, see, the Vedanam Anta Bhagaha, okay? The Veda Anta Shastram, the end portion of Veda, the concluding part of the Veda, which is called Jnana Kandaha, which consists of only Upanishads. So all these Upanishads, even though we have many names like Taittira Upanishad, Isha Upanishad, Kato Upanishad, we have so many Upanishads. Many Upanishads are there. Not only 10, Shankara wrote commentary for only 10 Upanishads. Okay, Mahatmas, like, you know, even Sri Bhasham, all Shankara, Ramanacharya wrote, and, you know, all the Acharyas wrote Bhasham also. But there are so many Upanishads. Not only 10 Upanishads, there are so many Upanishads. And all the Upanishads books are, number is many. And I said, we have many number of Upanishads. No? In fact, many. But really speaking, subject matter of all the Upanishads is one and the same. Subject matter is one and the same. What is subject matter? Jiva Jagat Ishwaraha. Who is an individual? Who is the Lord, the whole? Understand now, what do we mean by the so-called universe? And what is the connection between the individual, individual, the Lord, and the universe? This connection is made very clear. Okay, all these differences are empirically real, but absolutely these differences are not there. All that is there is only the Lord. All that is there is only the one, only the reality. The entire cosmos is the manifestation of only reality. This is a fact. Understand now. This fact is systematically taught and brought to light, made very clear in Upanishads. Understand? And understanding this fact of the Lord being the whole, one becomes free from limitations. One discovers one's fullness. This is a connection. Why should we know also? Otherwise, we don't need to go and waste our time in knowing this fact, isn't it? This is a fact revealed by Upanishads, and if we study, understand the vision revealed by the vision of the Upanishads, the vision of the Upanishad becomes your vision, then you become free from all limitations. That's the purpose. That is what is really culmination of a human life, isn't it? So that is the essence of the Upanishads. So here, and that essence of the Upanishads, instead of by studying Upanishads, by understanding the subject matter of Upanishads, what is it we need to understand, assimilate and ascertain? That vision is the essence of the teaching of Upanishads is given in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the essence of the Upanishads. Subject matter of Bhagavad Gita is not different from the subject matter of Upanishads. Whatever the Upanishadic subject matter is supposed to give you, bless you with, the same thing Upanishad Bhagavad Gita also is supposed to bless you with, that vision and the phalam. Therefore, here Vyasa in this verse itself highlights the greatness of, it reveals the greatness of Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Upanishadaha Gavaha. Next verse is, Sarvopanishado Gavo. Say that? Sarvopanishado Gavo. Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha. Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha. Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta. Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta. Dugdham Gitamrutam Mahat. Dugdham Gitamrutam Mahat. So Sarva Upanishadaha Gavaha. Upanishad singular. Upanishadaha plural. Sarva Upanishadaha Gavaha. Go means singular cow, one cow. Gavaha, many cows. So Sarva Upanishadaha Gavaha means all the Upanishads are likened to cows, like the cows. If all the Upanishads are likened to cows, okay, Gavaha, Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha. And you need a very, very efficient, highly skillful, the milkman who can milk. The essence of Upanishad from this milk. Now understand how? From this Upanishad cows. An ordinary person cannot do that. Because milking itself is a very big art. You know that in villages, I used to notice. People, I used to think, oh my God, nothing difficult. Not very easy to go and milk the cows. You have to take a vessel, go and sit near the cow, and then go there and milk it. I used to go and do in the villages, really. I used to try that. And it's a knack, you know. If the cow is not used to you, you are not a stranger, cow will immediately kick you out. Understand now? There is a knack. And the cow must be, you must be familiar to the cow. And every day, and then it's not that easy also. There's a knack, okay? But here, even to milk the ordinary cow, the milk from the ordinary, the udders of the cow, one must be efficient. And here, milking, okay, milking the nectar of Bhagavad Gita from the cows of Upanishads, one what amount of wisdom he must have had. Understand now? So here, Krishna, that means what? Krishna is the one who revels in fullness, fullness personified. Understand? One who identifies himself with the whole Jagat as the whole. That is Krishna. Isn't it? So here it's like Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha. Dogdha means the one who milks the cows. Okay? The milkman who milks the cows is Dogdha. So the milkman milks the cows of Upanishads is this Gopala Nandanaha Krishna. So Krishna is likened to the milkman here. Then he says, Parthaha Vatsaha, and before you start milking the cow will not yield the milk, okay? It can hold the milk in this udder. You know that? How much ever you go and, you know, press it still, it's not possible for one to milk. The cow has to, you know, willingly allow the milk to flow. So if the cow has to allow the milk to flow without holding it behind, no, the calf must be tied in front of the cow. The calf must be first allowed to, suck the milk. Then you have to tie the calf away. Then you can go on. And the calf has to, the cow has to see the calf. You'll be licking the calf also. So, then it allows the milk to go. Then you can go and milk the cow. So here, you need a calf to milk. Understand? So, Parthaha Vatsaha. Here, Parthaha is son of Pritha. Any son of Kunti is Pritha. Partha, isn't it? So here, Partha is Arjunaha. Arjunaha is like a calf. Vatsaha means, Arjuna is like a calf. Partha Vatsaha. Then, suppose what is the milk milked from there? He says here, Partha Vatsaha. Sudhihi, okay? Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. The great nectar of Bhagavad Gita is the milk. Okay? Milked from this cows of Upanishads by Bhagavan Krishna. Okay? And who was the calf? Arjuna was the calf. Always, all the milk milked from the cows. No? Milk is not drunk only by the calf. Others also drink. That is why, who are all the other people who enjoy this nectar of Bhagavad Gita milk from the cows of Upanishads? Not only Arjuna the calf, all those people, wise people, okay, Sudhihi Bhokta. The enjoyers, those who enjoy this milk of nectar of Bhagavad Gita, milk from this Upanishad cows, those who enjoys Bhokta Raha, Sudhihi, the wise person, the mature person who has Purusharth Nishchaya, who knows the value of knowledge, who knows the value of the study of the Shastram, who has great respect for Shastram, and such a person, a wise person, the mature, discriminate wise person, is the one who becomes enjoyer of this nectar of Bhagavad Gita. It tells the greatness of Bhagavad Gita. Amazing, isn't it? Nice verse, this. Okay. Because the previous verse, it mentions Krishna as the Gita Amrita Duh. Therefore, next verse has to explain that. Prapanna, okay. Sarvopanishadogavo, Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha. Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha.
पार्थो वत्स सुधी भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत।
नेक्स्ट वर्स इज
वसुदेव सुतं देवं
कंस चाणूरमर्दनम्
देवकी परमानन्दम्
कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्।
सो अगेन वी हैविंग पेड सल्यूटेशंस टू कृष्णा, देन इन दैट कॉन्टेक्स्ट ऑफ प्रेसिंग कृष्णा, नो पेड सल्यूटेशंस टू कृष्णा, वी आल्सो one of the dhyana shlokas highlighted the greatness of Bhagavad Gita being the essence of Upanishads. Then again in the fifth verse we bow to Krishna. So look, I'll stop with this and we'll go to the second chapter. We'll go inside. So in this verse if we see Vande, you always have to take the verb here. Vande is a verb. Vande means the first person singular present tense verb. Vande, I bow to. So Atmane Padam. So Vande, when you say I bow to. So I bow to whom? Whom do I bow to? Then all the answer must be in objective case. Who do I, subject is understood. Vande means bow to, I bow to. So whom do I bow to? Krishnam Vande. I bow to the Lord Krishna. What he told the meaning of the word Krishna? I don't need to tell you again. No? Krishnaha Krishdhatuhu. So we say Akarshati Sarvani Manamsi Iti Krishnaha. Remember that, okay? That which attracts all the minds towards itself. One thing which is always attractive, everywhere, always, for all the minds, okay? That is happiness and fullness. That is why we say here, and so bow to the Lord Krishna, who is fullness personified, limitlessness personified, happiness personified. Who is Krishna? Jagat Guruhu. Jagat Guruhu, okay? Jagat Guruhu. Guruhu is a beautiful word again, because so many meanings for the word Guruhu. Guru, if you say without Visarga, it's a neuter gender word which means big, heavy. Understand now? Guru Lagu. We have opposites. But Guruhu, if you say it's made a masculine gender word, it means the one who dispels the darkness of ignorance. It's a Gukaro Andhakaraha Rukarastannivartakaha. Gu stands for ignorance and Ru stands for that which dispels. Understand now? So the one who dispels, the one who dispels the darkness of ignorance is Guruhu. And here Krishna is in fact now Guruhu to whom? Is the dispel darkness of what? Ignorance. Ignorance of what? Very the reality. One who dispels the darkness of ignorance of the very reality. Understand now, one who blesses one with the knowledge of the very reality, gaining which one can resolve, one can identify oneself with the whole. Thereby one can become free from all limitations. One can become free. Understand now? That knowledge one who can be blessed one with is the bestower of spiritual knowledge alone is Guruhu. The word Guruhu is used nowadays to mean anybody, everybody. Nothing wrong. A dance teacher is a dance guru, music guru, that guru, language guru, now even now management guru. We have, understand, everybody plays a management guru is a very big word now, management nowadays. They're very common nowadays. Understand? So guru is the word. But here, according to Vedanta Shastram, guru means the one who helps the student, okay, one who helps one to discover the freedom from emotional dependence. See, which other knowledge will free you from emotional dependence? Tell me. Shastram does not look down upon any other discipline of knowledge. Shastram equally respects all the disciplines of knowledge. Because only this culture, you know, this Vedic culture, any discipline of any knowledge is looked upon as one order of Ishvara. That is why we bow to even ordinary newspaper, we can't put a leg or foot on that newspaper. You know that? Any information, Saraswati for us. That is why we worship the books, Saraswati Day. Because for us, everything is there, Bhagavan. Knowledge is Bhagavan. Any piece of knowledge is Ishvara for us. Any discipline is one order of Ishvara. Any culture is one order of Ishvara. Any lifestyle is one order of Ishvara. Any part, any geographical community is one order of Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara for us. Everything is Ishvara. Therefore, in the Vedic culture, no discipline or just looked down upon as inferior or anything. Everything is equally important. Because we say only the twofold vidya, you know, paravidya, aparavidya. What is paravidya is the thought which rises in your mind. What is the thought? The knowledge of the reality, okay, which dawns in your antakaranam, in your buddhi mind, is paravidya. And that is the culmination of the search on the part of the human mind. But until that, no, for the knowledge to rise, any discipline of any knowledge is what? Preparation. It's now preparatory. Any discipline of knowledge prepares the mind for this knowledge in terms of disciplining the mind, steadying the mind, quietening the mind. Therefore, everything is respected here. Nothing is inferior. Thing is, one is preparatory, one is for the, understand now, ultimate. Therefore, we say, and here, the knowledge which frees one from emotional dependence is the absolute knowledge, which makes one discover the knowledge which makes one remain secure with oneself, feel secure with oneself. What is that knowledge which will make you feel secure just being yourself? That knowledge is the absolute knowledge. Understand now? Other knowledge only. We don't say inferior, superior. So here, Guru is the one who frees one from, who helps the student discover freedom from emotional dependence by blessing him with, understand now, vision of, by giving him the vision of the oneness of reality through communication, through teaching. That is the Guru, actually. So here, Jagat Guru means what? The Guru of all the Gurus, the foremost of the Gurus is Jagat Guru. Understand now? There are so many Gurus, so many people can teach Vedanta, but for all of them, there must be the beginningless link of the lineage of teachers. Understand now? Jagat Guru, the Guru of the entire universe is Jagat Guru. So salutations, I bow to the Lord Krishna, the fullness personified, who is the personification of fullness and who is the Guru for the entire universe. Jagat Gurum Krishnam Vande. And who is this Krishna again? But he incarnated as son of Vasudeva. Therefore here we say here, Vasudeva Sutam, son of Vasudeva. Krishna is called Vasudevaha. Son of Vasudeva is called Vasudevaha. Again, that's a beautiful word. Vasudevaha is another word which means the Lord, the whole. It's the meaning. Vasu means wealth. And Devaha means effulgent, self-effulgent. The self-effulgent reality, self-existent, self-effulgent reality, which alone manifests as the entire cosmos, the entire wealth of the universe, is what? Vasudeva. Understand? So Vasudeva Sutaha means Sanna. Sutaha means son. Vasudeva Sutam, salutations by bow to the Lord Krishna, son of Vasudeva. Vasudeva Sutam. Then Devam, again Devaha means the Lord, the self-effulgent reality, we say Devam. Kamsa Chanura Mardanam. Mardanaha means destroyer. One who destroys the demons like Kamsa and Chanura. Okay, always Lord is manifest as the law and order. Lord is the universal law and order. And any niyati, all the laws which exist all over, we can understand the laws being manifest, we can't see the laws through physical eyes. And all those laws always, maintains the order. By undoing the wrong things, Now, by supporting the right things. For Kamsa Chanura Mardanaha means the one, the destroyer of Kamsa and Chanura, the demons. Then, Devaki Paramanandaha, Paramanandaha, the great absolute joy of Devaki, the mother. Okay? If for any mother, child is a joy. And here Krishna, being the child of, son of Devaki, his own mother, the joy of Devaki, son of Vasudeva, the self-effulgent the Lord, the Krishna, and destroyer of Kamsa and Chanura, who is the guru of the entire universe. Understand? I bow to that Krishna. This is the meaning of this verse.